The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Fox News alert, we're getting word that Israel's launching preemptive airstrikes against Iran. Explosions were reported in Tehran, the capital, which would be a big escalation in the war in the Middle East.
Moments ago, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, a targeted military operation to roll back the Iranian threat to Israel's very survival. This operation will continue for as many days as it takes to remove this threat.
The prime minister saying that the Natanz nuclear facility, this is the main enrichment site for Iran's nuclear program, was targeted in these strikes, along with a number of other locations.
The Iranian Revolutionary Guard chief has been killed in a strike. It shows you the depth of the intelligence that the Israelis have. Pretty amazing.
Several Iranian military leaders and nuclear scientists believed to be dead.
Iran has launched 100 drones at Israel.
Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said Israel will receive harsh punishment.
Israel says that it has started to at least attempt to shoot down some of those drones over Syrian airspace.
The Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime. I've made it clear time and again, Israel will never allow those who call for our annihilation to develop the means to achieve that goal. When someone comes to kill you, rise and act first. This is exactly what Israel has done today. We have risen like lions to defend ourselves.
Israel says it used more than 200 fighter jets to hit over 100 targets across Iran. In Iran, multiple explosions were heard near the Natanz nuclear power facility. There are reports this morning that that center has been completely destroyed.
It's amazing from my perspective. I don't see how you can look at the amount of damage they've done, the decapitation strikes to their military, taking out a lot of the air defenses so they can do follow-on missions. And apparently no losses of aircraft or anything on their side. It's a long way from a finished game, but this is one heck of a start for Israel to take out the most dangerous enemy in that region.
No let up. It just intensifies world events. This week we've had a study in contrast, looking at this incredible review that the Jerusalem Post gave to Celtic Throne 2. That was on Wednesday, June 11th. And then the next day, we even said when we went through that, how amazing it was to just see pictures of Celtic Throne 2 alongside pictures of tanks and armaments of war. And then the very next day after that beautiful review, a review that talked about just how wonderful this show made you feel. I think I had the exact quote here later on in my notes. Well, I can't find it at the moment. Here it is. The Irish Dance Troupe show was 2 hours of sheer musical and dance energy that made you feel good and happy and very much alive. And then the very next day, you're reacquainted with how war-torn this world really and truly is. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. A lot to get to on today's show. And I thought I would start with a tweet. This comes from a pastor, a man of the Bible, evidently, supposedly, a theologian. He said today, I often point out that there is no reason to think Jesus is coming back soon and many reasons to believe his final return may be a long time off. I look at these events in the world and I think, you know, Christ isn't going to come back. If he does, it's going to be a long time into the future. Think about what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3. He said in the last days, scoffers would come. How could you, especially as a man of the word, how could you look at this world and conclude that Christ isn't coming back? Well, he's not alone. A lot of people think that way. It was tweeted out or retweeted by a very popular conservative columnist, one that we follow. Lots of good conservative commentary. But when it comes to the promise of Christ's coming, people scoff. Even men of religion scoff. They just don't believe it. How about if you just get into the Bible and read it? How about if you just get into the Bible and study it? I mean, we're living in a world that is about to explode. In fact, it was exploding last night. This incredible strike on Iran. So successful from Israel's standpoint that Iran couldn't even retaliate. I mean, its leadership of the military was decapitated. Again, just like Hezbollah's. Took out the leaders, took out the lead scientists, took out all the missile launchers, or at least most of them. And then we'll see what comes of those two nuclear facilities that are underground, the one of them, Fordo, I think it is, under a mountain. So there's weapons buried deep beneath the Earth's surface in Iran. But from all the initial reports, it looks like this operation, 8 months in training. And just think, we brought this out, too, with respect to that strike, Ukraine's strike, deep into the heart of Russia using drones and so on. I mean, we're coming into a new kind of warfare where you can strike at someone suddenly. I mean, some people were writing that you know, the U.S. moving its embassy staff out of Iraq and other areas. I mean, you couldn't have telegraphed this more. And yet still, you have these very precise strikes taking out some lead guy over the IRGC, and then the neighbors right next door in this apartment building, they're unscathed. I mean, that says something about Israel's intelligence, about the precision of these weapons. But then the suddenness of this strike caught Iran completely off guard, even though it was telegraphed. They were not expecting this. They were preparing to drag out the negotiations with America over its nuclear program again on Sunday. They've been just wasting time. And you don't know how much America knew about this. I mean, the fact that they evacuated their staff in areas close by suggests that they knew, at least. But going by the initial statements, America came out and said, this is Israel acting alone. We didn't have anything to do with this. Play this from live now from Fox. This is clip 5.
For years, the Iranian regime has called for the destruction of the state of Israel, planning and advancing concrete military plans to do so. Over the past few months, intelligence has shown that Iran is closer than ever to obtaining a nuclear weapon. This morning, the IDF began preemptive and precise strikes, targeting the Iranian nuclear program in order to prevent the Iranian regime's ability to build a nuclear bomb in the immediate time frame. We have no choice. We are operating against an imminent and existential threat. We cannot allow the Iranian regime to obtain a nuclear weapon that would be a danger to Israel and the entire world. This operation is for our right to exist here.
You have a Western nation, a prosperous one, a powerful one, talking about its right to exist because there's other nations in the world that think Israel doesn't have a right to exist. And what happens when a nation that thinks that way gets a nuclear bomb? You can see why Israel acted last night. Some suggesting that they were maybe days or weeks away, Iran, from getting a nuclear bomb, as they continue with the enrichment of their uranium. And they keep telling the United States, no, we're going to keep our program going. Death to America, death to Israel. And Bibi last night was right to remind us giving his speech in English, here's a warning from a modern day Churchill saying that, look, we're the little Satan. They see America as the big Satan, the big enemy. And we want to negotiate with them. Operation Rising Lion. I mean, there's images of lions even in Celtic Throne too. And of course, that's what little Judah is known as in the Bible. A lion, because they've got lion-like courage. You had Michael Oren on the, well, I'll play the clip a little bit later, but he basically said this has been, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu's lifelong mission. Israel's survival. Preventing Iran from getting a weapon that would wipe Israel out. Pretty amazing attack. A new kind of warfare. Here's Bibi from last night, clip one.
The hardest decision any leader has to make is to thwart a danger before it is fully materialized. Nearly a century ago, facing the Nazis, a generation of leaders failed to act in time. They were paralyzed by the horrors of World War I. They were determined to avoid war at all costs, and they got the worst war ever. They adopted a policy of appeasement. They closed their eyes and ears to all the warning signs. That failure to act resulted in World War II, the deadliest war in history. It claimed the lives of 60 million, including 6 million Jews, a third of my people. After that war, the Jewish people and the Jewish state vowed, never again. Well, never again is now. Today, Israel has shown that we have learned the lessons of history. When enemies vow to destroy you, believe them. When enemies build weapons of mass death, stop them. As the Bible teaches us, when someone comes to kill you, rise and act first. This is exactly what Israel has done today. We have risen like lions to defend ourselves. Over 3,000 years ago, Moses gave the people of Israel a message that has steeled their resolve ever since. Be strong and courageous, he said. Today, our strong and courageous soldiers and people stand together to defend ourselves against those who seek our destruction. And by defending ourselves, we defend many others, and we roll back a murderous tyranny.
It's nice to see a world leader actually refer to the Bible. He did it on more than one occasion. Rise up like lions. Be strong, be courageous, be bold. Have the courage to take preemptive action. That's what he's saying there. You can applaud that, because that's not easy to do. Not in today's world, where you just see appeasement all over the place. In our booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, my father, I think he's quoting Churchill here, the offensive is three or four times as hard as passively enduring from day to day. It therefore requires all possible help in the early stages. Nothing is easier than to smother it in the cradle. To go on the offensive, I mean, spiritually, there's a powerful lesson in that for us. We've got to go on the offensive. We've got to be willing to take preemptive action. We've got to be willing to go it alone if we have to. And that's what Israel's doing. They have no support. As I've been pointing out this week, that's why Celtic Throne 2 is so well received over there. Because we just showed up. We just showed up to do a show that makes you feel alive and good and happy. Even as the rest of the world is abandoning Israel. And even as Israel's neighbors are working tirelessly to create weapons to destroy all Jews. That's today's world. That's the world we live in. This pastor who tweeted out, you know, I don't think Jesus is going to come back anytime soon. What a message. What is wrong with these people? These are people of religion saying this? He said, I think there can be no question that Christians have been far more effective when they take a long-term view of history rather than when they think Jesus is coming back at any moment and probably very soon. I guess he must think that the first century apostles were just, you know, crackpots. They were just too much into prophecy. Who does he think he is? The Apostle Paul, he talked to brethren, God's people, about Christ returning in his lifetime. Okay, so he was a little bit off on the timing. You think God wants us to go to the other extreme and just say, well, it's not even going to happen. We'll just scoff at the prophecies of God. We're living in the last days. And Christ's disciples, as you can see in the Olivet prophecy there in Matthew 24, they were very interested, very curious about the events that would unfold just before the return of Christ. Christ talked about wars and rumors of wars and the beginning of sorrow. He talked about great tribulation, and that's where we're headed. And so we've got to prepare ourselves. We've got to make ourselves ready for what's coming. This was General Flynn earlier today. I think this would be 17.
I do think that the Israelis need whatever capabilities they need, because this thing is going to go on. My belief is for another couple of weeks. They are not done with the level of destruction of the nuclear capability. We have to face the fact that since really the Obama regime, Iran, the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world, has been developing a nuclear weapon, and they've had years to develop it. Their level of enrichment of uranium is at a level that, you know, they were ready to come out with bombs here, you know, in the next couple of weeks, if not days. So
he's numbered among the few. I know there's the Tucker Carlson crowd that says that Iran wasn't close to getting a bomb and that the way to work with them is to, you know, negotiate and then stick it to the Jews. I mean, the Tucker wing of the MAGA movement took quite a hit last night. For that matter, what about the United States of America? How does this make America look? We told you, there's an article in the Times of Israel about an Israeli official saying, you know, we've been fighting their proxies for years. Now we're going after the head of the snake. That's the terminology he used. We were using that 20-some years ago when the war against terrorism was off and running, and we said, look, you better go after the head of the snake. Not just Iraq or Afghanistan, but Iran is the number one state sponsor of this. And for more than two decades, you had every U.S. official and their brother, practically, saying that, well, we can't go after Iran because that would just, I mean, the whole region would explode. They have too much power. They have too many weapons. And look at what Israel did in the course of just a few hours. And what has happened in response? Well, to this point, nothing. Iran has gone silent. Now, they'll probably regroup and launch some sort of counterattack. That's who they are. They hate Jews. But still, it shows you what a little bit of strength. If you show strength, things will quiet down a little bit. In his first term, I mean, Donald Trump took out Soleimani. And there was a period of quiet and rest. It's not like we're just itching that this show is all excited because there's more war. I mean, on the other hand of all of this I just mentioned, the courage and so on, I mean, here's another war. Here's another forever war. I mean, this is just the latest chapter in this ongoing fight to destroy Israel. And Bibi is a man on a mission. This is his life's calling, to make sure that the Israeli state survives, to make sure, as you heard there, that there's not another Holocaust that comes from, in this case, the sky. Listen to Bibi from last night, clip two.
Today, the Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear Holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime. Now, as prime minister, I've made it clear time and again, Israel will never allow those who call for our annihilation to develop the means to achieve that goal. Tonight, Israel backs those words with action. We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear enrichment program. We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear weaponization program. We targeted Iran's main enrichment facility in Natanz. We targeted Iran's leading nuclear scientists working on the Iranian bomb. We also struck at the heart of Iran's ballistic missile program. Last year, Iran fired 300 ballistic missiles at Israel. Each of these missiles carries a ton of explosives and threatens the lives of hundreds of people. Soon, those missiles could carry a nuclear payload, threatening the lives not of hundreds, but of millions. Iran is gearing up to produce 10,000 of those ballistic missiles within 3 years. Now, just imagine. Imagine 10,000 tons of TNT landing on a country the size of New Jersey. This is an intolerable threat. It, too, must be stopped.
Now, prophetically, obviously, we understand that this isn't going to stop Iran. Europe, the whirlwind from Europe, is going to do that ultimately. But this nevertheless is quite a hit. And as the news was unfolding last night, and you're thinking about Celtic Throne just finishing its third performance over there in Haifa, the troop getting back at about 2 a.m. to Jerusalem, and you wonder about the show Monday night in Beersheba or Jerusalem. I mean, the initial announcement said there's to be no large gatherings in Israel. We'll see how long that stays. And then, of course, you're thinking, too, about our production, just being able to leave Israel next week if the airport is shut down or something like that happens. I mean, there's the shows in the UK next. Here are God's people right in the thick of it, as per usual. This is just what we are accustomed to. We had a gathering over there for a high holy day in Jerusalem on October 7th, a year and a half ago, when Hamas attacked and the sirens went off in Jerusalem. And sirens went off in Jerusalem again last night. What a contrast when you look at Celtic Throne. A glowing review, June 11th, and then June 12th, Operation Rising Lion. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hinted at the launch of Rising Lion targeting Iranian nuclear sites in a note placed in the Western Wall on Thursday, hours before the planned launch of strikes. So he went to the Western, like I said, you couldn't have telegraphed this more. And yet still, Iran was sleeping. He puts this note in the Wailing Wall. The note, which was revealed to the Israeli public on Friday morning, contained a verse from the Torah from which the inspiration for the name of the IDF's operation was drawn. The note quoted Numbers 23 and verse 24, reading, "Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion." The full verse reads as follows. "The people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain." The rising lion. That's what this operation is called. If you look at Genesis 49, verses 8 and 9, It says about Judah, I mean, that's the passage where you've got a description of all the tribes of Israel, Judah being just one of them. The world doesn't know where the rest of them are. They just assume that, the theologians just assume that little Judah is all of Israel. when in fact there's Ephraim and Manasseh and Reuben, all kinds of tribes that are on this earth today. But coming back to my point, Genesis 49 describes Judah this way. It says, Judah, you are he whom the brethren shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you are gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? He's like a lion. Judah used to lead the way anciently when it was time for warfare, because they're a courageous people. They have the spirit of striking preemptively if need be. My father, he had a coworker letter. This is from 2019. He talks about God's work and how that we have to declare to the people of Judah, behold, behold your God. That's Isaiah 40 in verse 9. He says, we've done a lot of work in Jerusalem over the past several years, but the Bible indicates we will have an even stronger presence there. We have never been able to deliver a message to Judah of the magnitude I believe God wants us to. The time to change this is now. He said, this is again from 2019. Right now, there's a tide in the affairs of Judah. We had another article around the same time in our Watch Jerusalem publication, and we've since discontinued that publication, but the article had, it was actually on the cover, and it had President Trump, he was president at that time, and then Bibi was on the cover with him, and it was talking about this relationship and the resurgence, not just of Manasseh, but of Israel too, little Israel. But the headline said, how long will it last? God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to help us see that, hey, we're living in the last days. Jesus Christ's return is imminent. All the signs point to it. Never mind what the theologians of today say. Don't pay attention to the scoffers who scoff at the promises of God. God keeps his promises. Man, it's man who breaks them. It says God's work could certainly ride the momentum of this Trump tide. God wants us to take this tide at the flood and move on to miraculous achievements in finishing this critical end time work. I mean, that's what's exciting, really. I mean, we don't want to put anyone in harm's way. And I would imagine the sirens in Jerusalem are going to go off again soon. But God's work is being done. And that's exciting. God's reaching the cities of Judah. Right now, it's with this beautiful message that's played out on stage. The show was 2 hours of sheer musical and dance energy that made you feel good, happy, and very much alive. That's the message that this world needs. That's the message Judah needs. Behold your God! Exclamation point. And you're seeing all of these prophecies being fulfilled. Isaiah 40, Isaiah 22, Amos 7. We're living in some pretty significant and dramatic times. And coming back to America and its weakness, America could have done what Israel did last night. America could have done it 20 years ago. And you wouldn't even hear a peep out of Iran over that time. But we didn't have the courage. And that's fed into the MAGA movement's thinking on the forever wars. And it's hard not to sympathize with them. Who wants to send your boys off overseas where you can't even win a war? And all you have are rivers of blood and trillions of dollars spent. And so now you've got the isolationist movement is strong. Just don't get entangled in anything in the Middle East, in Ukraine, anywhere in the world. Just withdraw. We've got an invasion here at home, and we've got to focus on that. As I said earlier this week, I mean, you've got conservative commentators basically saying that you can't deal with the deficit. You can't help Israel. We've got to focus on the invasion here at home. Look at what just one show of strength, of power, can do in the course of a few hours. And they decapitate the leadership, at least the military leadership, the brass. And they make it impossible for Iran to retaliate, at least not right now. What a successful mission. Just looking at it, again, short term. It's not going to obliterate Iran. I'm not saying that. But it certainly sets them back. Listen to this montage about the success of this this attack, clip 11.
Something I just heard from a senior Israeli official who says that according to Israeli assessments, there are very high chances that the entire Iranian general staff, including the head of the Iranian general staff of the Iranian military, and several senior Iranian nuclear scientists were all eliminated in the Israeli strikes tonight. I hear that again from a senior Israeli official who says that several senior top Iranian military commanders, including the head of the general staff of the Iranian military and senior nuclear scientists, have all been targeted in those strikes. And according to IDF assessments, there's a high chance that they've been eliminated.
This is Axios reporting. Israel's spy agency Mossad was conducting operations inside Iran, including hunting for leadership targets in Tehran. So these are Mossad agents inside Iran. I mean, we've seen this before last year when Mossad agents took down the leader of Hamas in Tehran when he was in an apartment in the heart of Iran. So that means that when it comes to Iranian leadership, they are once again reminded that no one is safe.
This right here is actually coming in from the Israel Defense Forces. They provided us this video kind of showing how all of this did play out. The areas that were struck by the IDF and other military there, you can see them highlighted in red. But what you're going to see in a second are a few of the fatalities there that were reported. Now, again, this is coming from the IDF here, and the actual statement they released said, quote, "We can now confirm that the chief of staff of the Iranian armed forces, commander of the IRGC, and the commander of Iran's emergency command were all eliminated in the Israeli strikes across Iran by more than 200 fighter jets. These are three ruthless mass murderers with international blood on their hands. The world is a much better place without them."
We're now learning how Israel carried out the attacks. According to reports in several Israeli outlets citing a source, the Mossad spy agency reportedly began smuggling missiles into Iran several months ago and then secretly installed explosive drones deep inside the country to lay the groundwork for this overnight attack.
I'm still in my safe room. We all have bomb shelters in our homes, but the Israeli military has announced that we can leave these homes. If you look out my window here, you can see people in the street, which means one thing and one thing only, that the threat of being pummeled by thousands of long-range Iranian ballistic missiles, each carrying warheads of 2,000 pounds of TNT, has disappeared. And it means that, that somewhere along the line, in addition to taking out the four top military leaders in Iran, nuclear scientists, the Natanz the nuclear facility, and rocket launchers, somehow Israel has completely neutralized the threat against Iran. That doesn't mean that rockets can't come later on, but it's an extraordinary, extraordinary moment, and one that can prove utterly transformative for the entire Middle East.
Wow, that last comment there, that's from Michael Oren, the conservative author. He worked for Benjamin Netanyahu, I think, 10 years in politics. We were actually scheduled to interview him next Wednesday with our trip to Israel. I haven't mentioned this, but we were scheduled to leave Sunday. We'll see if that holds. Flying into Israel, sitting down with him and some others as well, seeing the show. Celtic Throne 2 in Jerusalem next Tuesday night. But this is an extraordinary moment, as he said there. I mean, an Israeli strike, and then within hours, The government telling its people, yeah, it's safe to roam the streets. It was that effective. It was that powerful. The Times of Israel, this is the defense minister. We dealt with Iran's proxies. Now we're dealing with the head of the snake. The only one, little Israel, the only one that has the courage to go after the head of the snake. The cause, root causes. It says here, speaking to the IDF's top brass ahead of the strikes on Iran, the defense minister says the military developed exceptional capabilities for the operation. It's a new kind of warfare, sneaking drones into the country, just like Ukraine did with Russia. Now, what happens when that happens to the United States? And we can't respond. We go silent. Is that possible? Are we living in the last days? Drawing near to the return of Christ. It says, over the years, and especially in recent months, the IDF has built exceptional capabilities in intelligence and operations, both defensive and offensive, which enable us to effectively confront the major challenges that we face. And Iran is certainly a major challenge. And as I say, here are God's people right in the midst, right in the thick of it, right in Jerusalem. This article, it's from 2019, a coworker letter, actually. My father says, our heightened archaeology involvement in Jerusalem is a sign that the coming of the Messiah is mere moments away. See, you don't get comments from my father, God's servant, suggesting that, well, the return of Christ, I mean, it's far into the future, if it even happens. I mean, think of a religious man saying that. Has he read the Bible? Has he read the Olivet Prophecy? Has he read 2 Timothy 3? If I go, I'm coming again. That's in John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you, an office, a position. I've got big plans for you, but I'm coming back. And when he does, the scriptures say the saints will rise to meet him in the air and then return to this earth. The Mount of Olives. It's all in Zechariah 14 as well. Read it. Do you believe it? God believes it. Christ believes it. God's family believes it. My father says, our heightened archaeology involvement in Jerusalem is a sign that the coming of the Messiah is mere moments away. We've got another excavation that we're going to be starting in about 2 weeks. We've got diggers from right here, from headquarters, Edmond, Oklahoma, that are about to head over to Jerusalem as well. Right as Celtic Throne comes to an end, at least this tour, in Israel, they leave for the UK, and then the diggers go over to Israel to excavate, to raise up the ruins. There's quite a work going on in Jerusalem. My father said in that 2019 letter, God wants us to catch the Jerusalem vision. Prophecies about this city should become very real to us. He says, isn't it about time we get serious in Jerusalem? This commission should practically be in your DNA, motivating you in every way. Go to war spiritually to grow the empire. That's what the work is here to do. We're growing God's empire. We're expanding this vision. And there's so much joy and there's so much hope embedded into this vision. On Celtic Throne, again, I know it's repetitive. The Jerusalem Post on Wednesday said the show was 2 hours of sheer musical and dance energy that made you feel good and happy and very much alive. That's what this world needs. A good message, a happy message, a message that makes you feel alive. Behold your God. He's coming. He's returning to this earth. Here's one last bit from Netanyahu last night, clip 4.
I want to assure the civilized world, we will not let the world's most dangerous regime get the world's most dangerous weapons. And Iran plans to give those weapons, nuclear weapons, to its terrorist proxies. That would make the nightmare of nuclear terrorism all too real. The increasing range of Iran's ballistic missiles would bring that nuclear nightmare to the cities of Europe and eventually to America. Remember, Iran calls Israel the small Satan. It calls America the great Satan. And this is why for decades, it's led millions in the chance of death to Israel and death to America. Today, Israel is responding to those genocidal calls with action and with a call of our own. Long live Israel and long live America.
Wow, my father has compared him to Churchill. He has the courage. He sees the enemy. He sees it more clearly than any other Western leader, for sure. And last night, he acted. Yeah, and he's reminding America, look, you're the great Satan. They hate you more than they hate the Jews, even. They want to destroy you. Axios has this. And again, we don't know if all of the reporting this early on is accurate, but it says friction point. Even as President Trump pursued a nuclear deal, Israel was preparing for this strike, gathering intelligence, positioning assets, and eventually conducting drills. Those preparations alarmed some in the White House, who worried Netanyahu might move even without a green light from Trump. Netanyahu assured Trump he wouldn't. The White House, for its part, told Netanyahu that if Israel attacked Iran, it would do so alone. Trump himself said several times in recent days, including several hours before the strikes, that he opposed an Israeli strike that could blow up the negotiations. But in the hours after the attack began, Israeli officials briefed reporters that this was all coordinated with Washington. So you have the conflicting reports. How much did Washington know? You know, was U.S. intelligence involved in this operation in some form? Two Israeli officials claimed to Axios that Trump and his aides were only pretending to oppose an Israeli attack in public and didn't express opposition in private. We had a clear U.S. green light. So what makes you question this is just how determined Witkoff and others have been to sit down with terrorists, to negotiate. But if this is true, I mean, maybe this is why Iran was just completely asleep at the wheel. They were being played. That's what Axios is suggesting. Netanyahu's aides even briefed Israeli reporters that Trump had tried to put the brakes on an Israeli strike in a call on Monday, when in reality, the call dealt with the coordination ahead of the attack. So, interesting coverage from Axios. This is Ted Cruz talking about the way Iran was approaching its negotiations with the United States and how that they weren't serious about it at all. Clip 7.
And this morning, Iran put out a statement, said they would not dismantle their centrifuges. They were going to build more. They were going to enrich more uranium. And they were charging towards a nuclear weapon. And the effect of that was a giant middle finger to President Trump. And it was also telling Israel, you had better strike now, because if you wait any longer, we will have a nuclear weapon and we will use that to murder millions of your citizens. And I think that's we're seeing the direct consequences of Iran's defiance and their genocidal desire to murder as many Israelis as possible.
How close were we to a nuclear bomb blowing up on this earth? I mean, that's coming. It's coming on a large scale. But as I read to you from that coworker letter, I mean, there still is a work to be done in Judah. A message needs to reach those cities in Judah, and that had started. We're in the midst of it. We're carrying it out. We're excavating. We've got our institute. We've got the exhibits. We've got the archaeology magazine. ABA, if you haven't subscribed to that, call our operators today, the Trumpet magazine. If you want tomorrow's news today, you can get a one-year subscription to that for free. No cost, no obligation. Just call 1-866-930-3024. This is from Sean Hannity's show last night, clip 9.
So if you put yourself in the Israeli, in Israel's shoes tonight, they are being, all the terror against them, all the threats against them, the head of the snake in all of this, that would be the Iranian regime. They're the ones that have started this. They're the ones fomenting this. They're the ones responsible for all the death, all the destruction.
I want the American people to know that we stand on the side of a free people, of a democracy. This tiny little country is now fighting a war for their survival. They're fighting a war for the United States because these intercontinental missiles are meant for us. How do I know? Because the enemy has told us. They're fighting a war for Europe. Europe, that keeps trying to destroy this little country through the UN and their own laws and so forth. This tiny little country is fighting a war for the free world against this Islamic Nazi regime that's backed by the communist Chinese, that's backed by the North Koreans, that's backed by the fascist Russian dictator Putin. And we should be supporting Israel every step of the way.
That's Mark Levin, of course. And he really triggered Tucker Carlson last week because he evidently, Levin had a private luncheon with President Trump, where, according to Tucker, he was lobbying or urging President Trump to get behind a strike on Iran. Donald Trump, as you know, he's got a lot of people in his ear that want for Trump to abandon Israel. And judging by that Axios piece, it doesn't look like that happened. He's got a few others in his ear, like Mark Levin, who understands the seriousness of this threat and how that those long-range missiles are not for Israel, but they're for the United States. Israel acted on behalf of America, as Levin points out there. Here's a bit more from Levin, clip 10.
Think about it, America. Let's say a nation in Central America had thousands of ballistic missiles and they'd already shot some at us. You'd think we'd take kindly to that, and that same nation was within a hair's breadth of having nuclear weapons and building missiles specifically so they can reach us. Do you think we would put up with that for a second? Well, just because Israel is small, they're not going to do it. It's a nation of warriors. It says, think about what this tiny little country is doing and is up against tonight. Those countries in Europe that are organizing against Israel and want to create a separate Palestinian state, shame on you. You are damnable. You are a disgrace. You should be backing Israel. You should be supporting what they're doing. Just because you sold out your country, just because through immigration you've destroyed your country, doesn't mean Israel should roll over and play dead.
That's Mark Levin on with Sean Hannity. Melanie Phillips had a piece, The Nightmare Scenario Arrives. I think she wrote this right before Operation Rising Lion was off and running. She says, the final chapter in the Iran nuclear crisis may now be upon us. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told Congress that there were plenty of indications that Iran was actively moving toward a nuclear weapon. There have been numerous reports that Israel is preparing to strike Iran's nuclear sites in the coming days. Washington has withdrawn non-essential staff from its Baghdad embassy and has approved a voluntary evacuation from U.S. embassies and locations throughout the region. And so in a lot of ways, I mean, people knew this was coming. People, I guess, outside of Tehran. The expectation of imminent attack may or may not be premature. We may be watching another episode of brinkmanship as yet another negotiating ploy. Again, she wrote this right before the attack. What does seem certain is that Iran has now reached the nightmare point that has been feared for so long that it is about to assemble a nuclear weapon. Israel can't tolerate that. If President Trump decides that the United States won't join an attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure, then Israel is preparing to go it alone, even though that would restrict it to damaging the nuclear sites rather than totally destroying them. It's quite a setback, but without U.S. firepower, you can't totally destroy Natanz or Fordow, however you say that second one. They're deep underground, and you need powerful bombs to wipe them out. That said, Israel did manage to wipe out quite a lot of the leadership, the scientists, the missile launchers, a drone attack, a new kind of warfare. In the Ezekiel booklet, my father says, the only other modern leader outside of God's church who has delivered a watchman warning similar to Winston Churchill would be former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Of course, now he's prime minister again, Israel's longest running prime minister. And my father in the Ezekiel booklet, comparing him to Churchill, it says, when Barack Obama started negotiating a nuclear deal with Iran, the world's leading sponsor of terrorism, only Mr. Netanyahu came to speak before the U.S. Congress, warning them of the catastrophic consequences of such a nuclear deal. This has been his lifelong mission. Warning in the spirit of Churchill. And last night, he carried out this audacious surprise attack. And Iran, at least for now, has gone silent. We will conclude today's show. I don't want to skip another segment of World Watch. It's Friday. Hard to believe we're already at Friday. So we'll finish off today's show with this week's World Watch segment. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today. And we'll see you next time.
China is supplying vital military materials and equipment to at least 20 Russian military production sites, Kyiv Insider reported on June 2nd. More than just aiding Russia through trade and evading Western sanctions, China is directly supplying the Russian war machine with military resources. In April, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky announced that Ukraine had intelligence of China supplying artillery and gunpowder to Russia. Since that announcement, Russian media has published a video showing a Chinese-made laser defense system in their armory. China has maintained that it is a neutral bystander, officially calling for peace negotiations between the warring nations. But the mounting evidence exposes China's direct and significant influence in Russia's war against Ukraine. To understand where this partnership between Russia and China is leading, read Russia and China in Prophecy. Iran has carried out several implosion tests, a key step in the development of a nuclear bomb, the Jerusalem Post said on June 8, based on a new report by the International Atomic Energy Agency. Implosion tests do not have any civilian use, contradicting Iran's public claims of desiring only civilian-use nuclear infrastructure. This development takes Iran significantly further down the road toward nuclear armament. Taken with its uranium enrichment, which is at record levels, Iran may be considerably closer to achieving nuclear weapons than is widely realized. These significant findings are being revealed even as Iran engages with the United States in negotiations about its nuclear program. These negotiations provide a convenient cover for Iran, stalling foreign intervention as its nuclear advancements grow. Iran is demonstrating clearly that it is not giving up its nuclear ambitions. The Bible prophesies that a belligerent Iran will play a pivotal role in instigating a global nuclear war. As the Bible foretells, unless America and the world recognize the extreme danger of a nuclear-armed Iran and turn toward God, they will face serious consequences. To learn more, read Face the Truth About Nuclear War. The leaders of Japan and South Korea pledged during a call on June 9th to work toward laying aside decades of animosity between their nations and fortify cohesive bilateral ties. During the 25-minute call, Japan's Prime Minister and South Korea's President acknowledged the need to cooperate more closely. The two nations currently aim to build an alliance to better stand up to powers like China, Russia, and North Korea. As the U.S. retreats, expect Japan and South Korea to recalculate and switch their allegiance to the Axis led by Russia and China, which is prophesied to field an army of 200 million soldiers. To learn more, read Japan Attempts to Build Anti-China Alliance. Will it work? To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.